You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Senses not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, and you are indeed listening to the Common Sense Show, where we are freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. This is Dave Hodges, your host, and our thanks to Joe Hagman for the Hagman and Hagman Report that's heard right here on Global Star Radio Network from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday. Doug and Joe, like I said, best show on radio as far as I'm concerned. And we have a couple of sponsors that are bringing this hour possible. And first one is Ready Made Resources. No mystery there. We all know Bob Griswold, frequent guest on the show, my consultant, my go-to guy for what you need to survive certain specific crises. And people will throw prepping at you. He throws what you need on an individual basis and specific to what the crisis could be. And this is what I think sets Bob apart from so many at Ready Made Resources. Bob's available tonight to talk to you. 1-800-627-3809. And if you're so enthralled with our next guest, and it's hard not to be, but you can call him after the show. You can call him tomorrow morning. He's not going to go anywhere, and he'll consult with you on homesteading, and he'll consult with you on your water needs, everything. Anything you can think of, he'll consult with you. It's the most low-pressure, high-educational approach that you've ever heard. Bob Griswold, readymaderesources.com, 1-800-627-3809, and he's at your ready. Also, we can help you with the food. We say it all the time, and this isn't an exhaustive list, but it's a critical list. Food, water, guns, gold, and ammo. And I can help you with the food. I've affiliated myself with Numana, proudly so, because as I told you last hour, Mike Adams has done a comparison test between Numana and the other food companies. And there's many good ones out there, but Numana comes out number one in all the comparisons. And I think the best pricing, best quality, best everything. This is why I'm with Numana, why I believe in them so much. You know, and you take it from people who are customers. I've never had anyone complain to me with all the Numana products we've sold. Go to numana.com/Hodges to find out why. And for our listening audience, we have a special for you. 5% off your purchase price with the coupon code Hodges, NOV5. And I want to remind everybody, hey, stay in touch with our YouTube. We're updating it all the time. I got something up there that's kind of fun. You might like this. Go check it out tonight after the show or tomorrow. I'm doing a series on predictive programming. The Last Ship, Designated Survivor, and I'm talking about how these themes through all these shows are repetitive. The plots vary, the storylines are different, but you're not going to believe it. The themes are the same. Breakup of America, so forth and so on. So anyway, I've got a series of podcasts up there, and you're going to want to go check that out. And our YouTube address is same as our website, The Common Sense Show. Anyway, we are really proud and pleased to be with you. And we have a first-time guest, and certainly with a vast amount of material this man can offer, he's not going to be a last-time guest because I mentioned to him before we came on air, we've got 2 weeks of material here, and we only have 2 hours to cover it. And he has been making the rounds. You've probably heard him on Doug and Joe's show. He's been on my friend Dr. Ted Brower's show. He's been on Alex's show. He's everywhere. And I really have to compliment him for his endurance and his stick-to-itiveness, and so I want to welcome Robert David Steele, ex-CIA agent, to the Common Sense Show. Welcome, Robert. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, David, and I'm not an agent. Agents commit treason. Clandestine case officers or operations officers are the ones who recruit the agents.
You exposed my poor nomenclature due to my inexperience.
It's a small thing, but we take it very seriously.
I know, I'm
not
sure
a traitor.
You do. Yeah, well, anyway, that certainly is not implied.
And okay. I'm glad to be... someone else stole my line. I watched him the other day, but I was the first one to say I'm a recovering spy.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Let's put it this way. I've known some, and I know the sacrifices that one has to make to work in that field. Let's take a minute before we get rolling on this numerous amount of topics and tell the listening audience a little bit about your background as it relates to the CIA.
Well, I was very unusual in that I grew up as the son of an oil engineer. So I spent 10 years in Asia and 10 years in Latin America. I went through 10 coups in Vietnam, trading cigarettes for bullets after each coup, and burning down golf courses by accident with the gunpowder. And then I came back. I went to university. I did my AB in political science with a thesis on multinational corporations and home and host country issues. Then I did a master's in international relations with a thesis on predicting revolution. Then I turned down a job offer from Lloyds Bank International, joined the Marine Corps, and all of that together made me an ideal CIA case officer candidate. I mean, 1 in 20,000 gets selected. So I was very proud of being selected, and I continue to recommend CIA, as screwed up as it is. I continue to recommend them. If you're good enough to get in, it's absolutely worth doing, even if you only do it for a short time. I lasted 9 years. Part of the problem is that CIA is a toxic environment. It's more of a bureaucracy than it is a daring do agency. People are more cubicle mentality bureaucrats than they are daring do. And so those of us that are daring do kind of get tired of this and tend to leave.
Well, let me ask you a question here, since you made the distinction between agents and caseworkers and the like. Do you have an opinion you can offer publicly about what Ed Snowden did?
Yes, I'm personally not convinced that Snowden was actually not a CIA operation against NSA. Snowden went from being a security guard to being the most famous whistleblower in the world in a matter of like 4 years. He went from being a security guard with no education to being a CIA technical specialist in Geneva to being planted by Booz Allen, which is where Mike McConnell is, as well as Keith Hall and Joan Dempsey. Booz Allen is basically where all the old intelligence officers go to die. And they then put him into Hawaii, where he miraculously ended up with 1 million documents. It just doesn't smell right to me. So there are wars between our intelligence community agencies, and the war between CIA and the FBI is the best known. But there is also a war between NSA and everybody else. And one of the problems is that there are many good people in the intelligence community, and they don't like the fact that NSA has been spying on all of our politicians and blackmailing all of our politicians for a very long time. NSA has also been doing insider trading. They use their collection skills against Wall Street and then leverage that with their offshore accounts. So there's some great evil there. But my bottom line on Snowden is that whatever his genesis, it was for the best. And I have, in fact, written several pieces on fixing intelligence. And if I ever do get Donald Trump's ear, one of my suggestions is that he close down NSA lock, stock, and barrel, which he has the authority to do. NSA has no legislative charter. Donald Trump's closing down NSA would be the equivalent of Harry Truman firing Douglas MacArthur. It would rock the country in a most positive way.
Well, I would certainly be in favor of that. We get frequent electronic interference on our show that can't be explained by normal electrical anomalies. And the first person group we look at, NSA. And, you know what's amazing to me, Robert, through all this, is what they subject us to in their practices are the same things their kids are going to have to live through. I don't get how they can live with themselves.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I've thought a lot. I mean, as a political scientist, which is almost an oxymoron the way we do it. I mean, academics have become retarded these days. But what you really look at is how something is started, maybe with the best of intentions, and then all of a sudden it becomes a budget-building exercise. And then it starts spinning off little isolated pieces. I mean, I like William Binney. We had lunch the other day. I think he's the one guy I would trust to pick out a few pieces of NSA to turn into a director of signals intelligence at an expanded CIA. But the bottom line is, a lot of what goes on that people think is evil is nothing more than turf building and budget building and personal power aggrandizement. Electromagnetic pollution, for example, mind control, involuntary neuro programming, as well as just plain old electromagnetic pollution that is killing brain cells. Cell phones are killing brain cells. All of this occurs because we have a very dishonest government. We don't do true cost economics. We don't actually study why fracking is causing earthquakes and using up clean water we can't afford to lose and poisoning what's left. And so as a result, we basically have an earth in which we've been consuming the earth irresponsibly because no one is being held accountable for actually knowing what they're doing wrong. And we've kind of reached the end of our wrongness period, if you will, and I have high hopes for the future.
What makes you think things are going to turn around?
You know, I have been studying collective intelligence and social movements and so forth for quite some time. And Tom Attlee, the author of The Tao of Democracy, is one of my mentors. The internet isn't working yet the way it should. I mean, I coined the hashtag #GoogleGestapo. And I'm very concerned by the very evil things that Twitter and Facebook and others are doing in censoring and so forth. But what I think is about to happen is I think that the 99% are about to slam the 1% back into a very small box. Although I love Mike Asifri's book, The Big Disconnect, Why the Internet Hasn't Fixed Politics Yet, I and others are, I think, on the verge of fixing politics and on the verge of fixing internet, and the two go together.
Does this have anything to do with what you've been sending me on electoral reform?
Well, electoral reform is certainly part of it, and an open source agency is another part of it. I was the one who briefed the Occupy Working Group on electoral reform in October 2011, I think it was, and a guy named Philip Small videotaped me. It was a six-minute briefing. It went viral. It made the front page of Reddit, and I had no idea what Reddit was, but my 12-year-old came in and said, "Dad, you're on the front page of Reddit." So I did a Gary Johnson, "What's a Reddit?" Learned a lot. But then I ran for president in 2012, and I really realized that all parties are toxic and that electoral reform is about much more than simply taking out the money out of politics. I've harvested ideas from thousands of people, and I've come up with a 12-point electoral reform act, which is a starting point for an electoral reform summit that hopefully Donald Trump would realize he must do. But I want to get to the point about all people coming together. What I have found in recent months, and I really have to express my thanks to Ted and the Hagmans and several others, more so than Alex Jones, I have to say. I did not really get noticed out of Alex Jones. I got noticed out of your circuit, and that means a lot to me. But what I'm finding is that when I talk to people who hate Donald Trump, they understand when I say the enemy of my enemy is my friend and Donald Trump is our one chance, whether you're a liberal or a Sandinista or a dropout who could care less about politics, Donald Trump is our one chance to bury the deep state. And so electoral reform for me is a way of putting the public back in the government. It's a way of restoring integrity to the whole. It's a way of freeing the members of Congress from their dependency on funding from the Zionists and Saudi Arabia and Wall Street and others. It's a way of eliminating all of the electronic ballot fraud that Hillary Clinton used against Bernie Sanders, but was stopped against Donald Trump. So for me, electoral reform is a way of essentially getting us back to the Constitution and the Republic.
Well, how would you propose to do that?
Well, I have been trying, with the help of all of you, and three separate people have spoken to Steve Bannon about this, and I was just told yesterday that Bannon is now trying to get Trump to meet me, and that's a good thing, because there's a violent American spring coming. And that's the beauty of being the legitimately elected president of the United States of America. If Donald Trump, who I believe he's going to fire Reince Priebus. I think he's now past the point where he needs the protection of having establishment people around him. He now understands that Priebus is a traitor and that Priebus has put a guy into the office of personnel, of presidential personnel, that's a traitor, who's basically sneaking establishment people into Trump positions and so forth. So Trump has the authority to actually propose to Congress an Electoral Reform Act. Now, this is not something that Paul Ryan wants, because what an Electoral Reform Act does is it basically kills the two-party tyranny, and it makes it possible for independents as well as libertarians, which I'm a member of, the Libertarian Party, which I think is toxic. I think its leaders are blockheads who have no idea how to win. And so it's something that Donald Trump can present to the two-party tyranny. Now, Ron Paul presented electoral reform to the two-party tyranny 4 times out of the 9 times that it's been presented in history. And all 9 times, it has been defeated by the two-party tyranny. Here's the difference. Donald Trump is a world-class barnstormer. If he presents the Electoral Reform Act to Congress, and then he goes on the road, and he sells it to the public, and he uses surrogates not just from the spectrum that Bannon represents, but also people like Cynthia McKinney and Dennis Kucinich and Jesse Ventura and Ralph Nader and many others, if he can get the Greens, for example, Jill, whatever her name is, if he can get the Greens and the Constitution Party and even the working families, he could personally go to New York City and explain to Bill de Blasio how an Electoral Reform Act would allow 5 or 6 working families people to be elected to Congress in 2018. If he takes this across the country, I absolutely guarantee you it will pass, because the two-party tyranny not only gains from this in the sense that the incumbents gain freedom from their financial dependency on external sources of money, but it basically makes it impossible for the incumbents to deny a vote, particularly if Trump insists that a roll call vote be called. I can put 1,000 people on the front lawn of every member of Congress and not have them leave until that member agrees to vote for the act. Donald Trump has that power. So I believe that, and I'm getting email constantly now from people saying, this is what we've been waiting for. This is what we want. We want a government that makes evidence-based decisions in the public interest. That's not what Congress does today with the two-party tyranny. The other factor for Trump to consider is that the Republican Party is going to be destroyed in the next year, just like the Democratic Party was destroyed. There is going to be a pedophilia scandal that will take down Reince Priebus, Scott Walker, and Paul Ryan. And there will be leaks on Republican Party perfidy against the American public, and also Republican Party co-conspiracy with the Democratic Party against the American people. We are going to see leaks of emails about deals on trade and other things that will make it crystal clear that the two-party tyranny is the greatest enemy of the American people. So I think Trump can do it, but Trump has to want to do it, and that's the hard part.
Well, there's I want to take a little side turn here from something you just said. I don't know if you're familiar with Trevor Loudon's Enemies Within expose, and then Alan West, former Congressman Alan West, backs up a lot of what Loudon says. And I went on the research trail, too, when I saw Loudon's documentary, and I also know it came from his book. And long story short here, I was able to validate a good amount of what Loudon said. And here's what he said, and this is what I want to put back in your lap, is this what you're talking about? There are many members in Congress, most of them Democrat, but not all, most in the House, but not all, who belong to front groups associated with the Communist Party or the Muslim Brotherhood or both. Is this what you're possibly referring to?
Well, that's certainly a part of it, but I think your audience will understand it more simply if I simply say that every member of Congress, with the possible exception of Rand Paul, is an absolute slut. They will take money from anybody, and they have no ideals at all.
Yes.
And that's the problem, okay? I have thought a lot. I mean, I'm an intelligence professional. I've spent 30 years trying to shift the craft of intelligence away from secrecy and spies that promote war and waste toward open sources that promote peace and prosperity. And what I finally realized when Tom Steyer went on the air and said that he had spent $74 million on climate change issues with legislation and got nothing, I realized that there is no issue that will be considered honestly by any collection of representatives at the national, state, or local level unless we do electoral reform first. Electoral reform is root. And I would say to you, it's not just communists and socialists. It's also pedophiles. It's also the Vatican. It's also Zionist spies who own NSA and most law enforcement communications and computing systems across the country. The Israelis were the first to really master spying through software. And many of the U.S. government systems and many of the law enforcement systems at the state and local systems are built by and maintained by Zionist corporations. So I really am less worried about ideology and more worried about the fact that absent electoral reform, every single member of Congress is bought and paid for by some combination of people who hate America.
Agreed. One of the things I advocated for in the first hour when I was talking to Joe Hagman, and this is not a blanket solution, I recognize that, but if we could somehow find a way to ban corporate campaign contributions, we could go a long way towards minimizing the influence. Is this part of your plan as well?
It is. It is. And I would say to you that your listeners, if they just look up Rigged 12 Ways, they'll get to both the Kindle and the free online version of the Electoral Reform Act. There are 12 points within that act. I'd be glad to go over them if you wish. But the bottom line here, and this is where I parted ways with Lawrence Lessig, whom I consider a traitor. He tried to flip the Electoral College, and he knew what he was doing was wrong. He was so afraid for his life, he actually hid out in Iceland during that period. But the Electoral Reform Act has 12 points, and taking the money out does nothing if you still have electronic ballot manipulation. I mean, the Diebold voting machines were designed explicitly to allow the rigging of an election. Gerrymandering, most people know about. There are others. I mean, you tell me. Do you want me to go over all 12? I can, if you wish.
I think it's important, yeah. Listen, I read a lot of what you put out on electoral reform, and I think our listening audience needs to hear it, because when they hear it again, then maybe they'll get behind it.
Well, I would love that, because I'll tell you something. I mean, I'd love to talk about the four tracks that I think are going to destroy Donald Trump if he doesn't pay attention to this and use the Electoral Reform Act as a unity act. So here are the 12 points, and if your listeners want to follow along, or if they want to look into this more deeply, all they have to do is look up Rigged 12 Ways, and they'll get right to it. Rigged with two G's. So the first one is universal registration. And one of the problems that we have is that 47% of our voters don't vote. They've dropped out. And that's often by deliberate choice on the part of the two-party tyranny. There's a lot of voter suppression. There's a lot of black voter suppression by the Republican Party, and there's a lot of white voter suppression by the Democratic Party. And so we need to get the public back into the public business. The second is free and equal ballot access. The two-party tyranny makes it virtually impossible for a small party or an independent to get on the ballot as a candidate. I actually had to run for... Go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. I used to be the state chair of the Constitution Party here in Arizona.
Oh, really? I like it.
Oh, yeah, but I have to tell you, it was the biggest waste of my time. I got no support from National, right. No money, no nothing, just, hey, attaboy, Dave, way to go. And that was the only thing that happened.
I can level the playing field. And although I feel that all parties are toxic, part of the Electoral Reform Act is to ensure that every party has a chance to get its people on the ballot. I mean, right now, for example, some states will require 100,000 signatures for a Constitution Party person, but only 5,000 for a Democratic candidate. So free and equal ballot access. Number three is very interesting. It's not just tightly drawn districts, which is an answer to gerrymandering. And that's the one where a number of states are taking some initiatives. But I discovered recently that the congressional districts are allocated based on all people living in the district, including illegal aliens and foreigners. What this means in practical terms is that California would lose four congressional seats if we did not count the illegal aliens and foreigners when we allocated congressional districts across this country. So that's huge. That's number three. Number four is free and equal public funding, which essentially takes away from the lobbyists the power they now have over the members of Congress. Now, I have since discovered, and Wayne Madsen has done some very good work here, the members of Congress are not only bribed, they're also blackmailed. And so I have a plan to basically give each member of Congress an opportunity to have a very discreet confession, if you will, and absolution, and then we flip them back and we go after the people blackmailing them. But we need to protect our members of Congress from blackmail, and there's a lot of that. NSA and CIA are big-time blackmailers. Senator McCain, Senator Graham, Senator Rubio, who's a closet gay. I have no problem with gays. I have a lot of problems as an intelligence professional with closet gays. And so all of these people are being blackmailed by the CIA, by NSA, by the Mossad, by the Saudis, and others. Okay. The number five is free and equal media access. Now, I personally am really pleased that in the last 120 days, the public has realized that the mainstream media is the fake news media. I mean, I talk about the crap news network and the freaked out X-holes. These people are garbage. They have just absolutely no ethical or intellectual foundation for serving the public. But be that as it may, and I do want to create a Trump channel, which would include guys like you as surrogates. But part of this is they all operate under a public charter. So every candidate for office should have free and equal media access and not have to pay fees for television programming and so forth. Absolutely. Number six is inclusive debates. Now, many of your listeners may not remember because they weren't born at the time, but the League of Women Voters used to do a phenomenal job of managing the presidential debate. They included third, fourth, and fifth party candidates. They asked hard questions, and they did not provide the questions in advance. The Republican and Democratic parties conspired to take this away from the League of Women Voters, and the League of Women Voters sacrificed their integrity in letting them get away with it. Had I been president of the League of Women Voters, I would have said, gents, there will be no sex in America until you give us our debates back. And I think I would have won. I would have gotten every woman in America seriously pissed off. But the League of Women Voters let us all down, just like Al Gore let us all down in Florida, by letting this happen. But the new Electoral Reform Act adds a twist to this. It requires that every candidate name their cabinet in advance of Election Day, and that there be cabinet-level debates. So, for example, the attorneys generals for each of the candidates, the secretaries of state, the secretaries of agriculture, must do at least one national debate on how they would manage their department. Because we've gotten to the point now where it's a serious error to think that you can elect one person who will become a decider and who will pick a team after the fact. America needs to pick a team that is announced before the fact. So number seven is open primaries, and one of the reasons that Bernie Sanders is not president today is that he blew me off eight times in 2015 and 2016, and I'll get to number 12, which is what I call the Bernie provision. But Hillary Clinton stole 13 primaries from Bernie Sanders using electronic ballot manipulation. That was been confirmed by a Stanford white paper.
Yes.
And it was those 13 states that white hats came in and were able to protect for Donald Trump. They stopped the electronic manipulation. Were you going to say something, David?
Yeah, actually, yeah. It's funny you'd mention that because I did a two-part series on that. And I made the point, if they're going to do this to Bernie, this is where I thought Trump might lose. I didn't think he could lose, but I thought he might lose because of this factor.
Oh, he was intended to lose. He was intended to lose. And I'm dying for you to ask me, after I finish this electoral stuff, I'd love to talk about how he's an accidental president. But open primaries, and then number eight is Election Day is a holiday, and there's free public transport. Many people do not realize how hard it is for people who are barely at the subsistence level to get out and vote, to divert themselves from their normal structured day, especially when so many people are burdened by two and three part-time jobs with no benefits. Their time to go vote is difficult. Number nine is hugely important. Paper ballots counted publicly on site, plus exit polls. It's time we had an honest vote count in America. We've never had one before. Ballot tampering is something that has been with us since we first started voting. But now it's possible to actually do it right. And that's a central aspect of this Electoral Reform Act. And I guarantee you, if we don't have an Electoral Reform Act, the Democrats are going to figure out how to take back the House, and they are going to impeach Donald Trump. This is an absolute certainty. Number 10 is very important. It's the end of the winner-take-all system, where each voter, instead of just voting for one president, votes for a first, second, and third choice. And then there are various ways of doing this. And remember that we have paper ballots counted publicly, so these first, second, and third choices are all on the table, as it were. But out of that comes, with an instant runoff application, out of that comes a true majority president, rather than having someone who barely ekes through as a majority when three other really excellent candidates split the intelligent vote among themselves. So winner-take-all is very important. Number 11 pertains to the legislative process and the integrity of the legislative process. Today, we have laws that are written by lobbyists that have secret clauses that are very much against the public interest. The Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership is such an example. And the legislation is not even read by members. They simply vote the party line. So we would demand that all legislation be posted online in advance of voting so that constituents may instruct their representative. And the third one, which is the Bernie clause, says that all delegates for federal elections shall be won proportionally with no superdelegates or other forms of party-unique manipulation. Had Bernie Sanders listened to me in 2015, he would be president today.
You really think he would have beat Donald Trump?
The short answer is yes. Because, again, I've written about this and studied it extensively. Let me say, David, that I have supported Donald Trump since July of 2015. I wrote the first major article on how Donald Trump can win for Counterpunch. It was published in August 2015. It was called Countercoup, How Donald Trump Can Win. What people don't understand is that the entire system really is rigged, and Trump has said this himself. The best evidence I can give you of Donald Trump's nearly losing to Hillary Clinton, as opposed to Bernie Sanders, and again, Bernie Sanders would have brought out all the anti-socialist feelings and so forth, but the House never loses. The bookmakers gave Donald Trump odds of 20 to 1 at best, 200 to 1 at worst. Cambridge Analytica, which is an over, it exaggerates its capabilities. It has some good things about it, but Cambridge Analytica was Trump's in-house prediction unit. They gave him on election day at noon, on election day, they gave him a 20% chance of winning at best. Now, I have written a very popular Kindle short, which is also free online, called Donald Trump, Accidental President Under Sage. And it has 50 endnotes, and each endnote has one to four links. I mean, it has multiple links. I've written the single best analysis of how Donald Trump won by accident. Okay? And I have to tell you, it's a fundamental requirement. Because people who think that it was the hand of God, yes, I don't deny that there's divine providence. But people who think that Donald Trump won by a landslide do not understand the reality. The 27% voted for him, 26% voted for Hillary, and hate Donald Trump with a passion that will put them in the streets in April, when they are paid to be in the streets in April. And 47% didn't vote at all, and that 47% is Donald Trump's ace in the hole. So I think it's very, very important to understand that the difference between Donald Trump and Barack Obama, because Obama was elected by 26% of the voters, the difference between them is that Barack Obama was the deep state candidate, and the deep state wasn't about to rise up against their own candidate. Donald Trump is the accidental president, the unshackled president, the president who was elected against the deepest opposition from both the Republican and the Democratic parties. And that is why Donald Trump is going to go down unless he puts an Electoral Reform Act out there and creates for himself a base that is bigger than the two-party tyranny establishment.
Parallel to that, and I understand what you're saying, and it makes
a great
deal of sense.
Yeah, I don't think I've sold you. I don't think you.
No, I think you have. But I think there's a second path that needs to be pursued at the same time.
Okay.
I think what you're saying. Listen, what you have said here, you've probably said 15 things I've said on a podcast in the last week. So I mean, we're of like mind on a lot of issues. But let me just digress for a second and talk about what Joe Hagman and I talked about in the first hour. And I said that Donald Trump needs to move right now to have a mass exodus of deep staters, Obama Clintonites, out of the Secretary of State's office. He needs to remove them from the FBI. Comey should be the first to go. But what do you think about that? Shouldn't he begin to purge the cancer that's in his administration?
David, I for whatever reason have turned out to be one of America's strategists. And I agree with you on the purge, but it would be premature to do the purge until you have first done the Electoral Reform Act. One of the reasons that Jeff Sessions is under attack is not only because part of the four-track strategy is to strip Donald Trump of all of his supporters, but because Trump went after the pedophiles too soon. He should not have gone after the pedophiles until he first had the Electoral Reform Act and he first had a base that would allow him to tell Paul Ryan what to do. I'm very concerned. Every day that Reince Priebus stays in the White House is another day in which Donald Trump is ineffective. David Stockman is the guy I would ask Trump to interview, and I'm sure there are other great guys out there. I mean, Lee Iacocca, if he were still willing to do it. I mean, it's an absolute thankless job, and it's probably something that needs a PhD, doctor of business administration kind of person, because it's not supposed to be a decider job. It's supposed to be a person who can make the trains run on time and never, ever let the president be caught by surprise or embarrassed, which, of course, Priebus is a constant embarrassment himself. So I think that you're right. There needs to be a purge. But before there is a purge, Donald Trump needs to ensure that he's going to survive the next 90 days. And right now, I think that's in question.
So what needs to happen in the next 90 days to stop his exit?
Well, bless you for asking. Can I tell you first what I think the four tracks are of the strategy to destroy him?
Yes.
Was that a yes?
Yes. Yes, please.
Okay. David, I have been watching carefully because, I mean, I wrote the first modern graduate thesis on predicting revolution, and I've spent my lifetime studying leftists and terrorists and subversives of all kinds. And I find it quite fascinating in a very morbid sort of way to see that most of the terrorists and leftists and extremists are right here at home. There's a four-track strategy to destroy Donald Trump. The first track is what I've named Google Gestapo. #GoogleGestapo. They tested this strategy during the actual campaign. Google provided millions and millions of dollars of illegal, undeclared campaign contributions to Hillary Clinton by manipulating search results such that when people search for Hillary plus crime, the crime was stripped off. And when they search for Trump, they had a gratuitous addition, Trump plus Hitler. Google and Facebook and Twitter have all been actively censoring pro-Trump commentaries and websites. And they have been at the same time elevating anti-Trump rhetoric. So I believe that Jeff Sessions should demand a RICO investigation into, this is one of the things that Trump needs to do. He should do a RICO investigation into Eric Schmidt, Google, and so forth. And you are as familiar as anyone with how Alex Jones was deprived of $3.5 million without due process by a Google surrogate, Adroll. And Natural News was digitally assassinated by Google. They're back now because the public had an outcry. But part of this is leading up to the May Day coup d'etat, where the Silicon Valley social media mandarins and the mainstream media will be able to control the narrative if Donald Trump doesn't create his own Trump channel. And that's part of my solution. So that's track one. Track two is a violent American spring. It is irrefutably proven that George Soros has spent over $50 million, and I believe the amount is closer to $100 million, getting people ready to take to the streets once it gets warm. Berkeley was a trial run. In late March, early April, I think we will see 1,000 Berkeleys across this country. And one of the points that I like to make to people is that the governors, the mayors, and the university presidents are all part of the deep state. They want these riots to be broadcast on national television. They want Donald Trump driven out of state. Now, I'm sure there are a few governors that favor Trump, but realistically, all governors, all mayors, all university presidents, and certainly the leadership of the Republican and Democratic parties are all anti-Trump. He's got to stop the violent American spring. And the Electoral Reform Act is one way of doing that. The third track is the MS of the mainstream media, the Crap News Network, and all these people. I have a very popular Kindle short, which is also free online, called Soft Coup, and the cover has three of these cut-down oil barrels that the military uses to poop in, and then when it fills up with poop, they burn them. So there are these three burning crap barrels, and they're labeled CIA, CNN, and New York Times. We have got literally a massive propaganda machine that the deep state is using, and the deep state is trying to condition the public to absolutely believe that Donald Trump should be impeached. All of this stuff about the Russians is absolute garbage. It is not true. It is simply a falsehood. But because it's a falsehood repeated often enough in a Hitler-esque kind of way, it's a falsehood that people are allowing to influence them. If Donald Trump does what I said, which is going to be the second half of my answer to your wonderful question, then he will be able to dominate the narrative for the next 4 years. The fourth and last, I pay a lot of attention to David Stockman and Paul Craig Roberts and Martin Armstrong and a few others. I read Zero Hedge. But what I am seeing from Stockman is that not only are we going to reach the debt ceiling, but Wall Street is going to deliberately crash the economy, and they're going to blame it on Donald Trump. So these are the four things that that Donald Trump is facing in the next 30 to 90 days. And it's an enormous frustration to me that Rents Priebus betrayed Donald Trump by not delivering my spy's Christmas message to Donald Trump, which was published in The Mind Unleashed and also at Zero Hedge. It's had a combined viewing of over 500,000 people across those two platforms plus others. So you ask, what does Donald Trump need to do? I have written a memorandum for the president which summarizes my 10-page memorandum that Priebus refused to deliver. And it is written to Trump's desires, which is to say Trump likes to deal with one page and 9 points. And your listeners who want to read this memo, which I'm told a million people have read this memo so far, it inspired a White House petition, which, by the way, we've determined that all White House petitions are disappearing votes. This is not unique to our petition. Every petition will find that you need four people to vote for one vote to count. We've actually got screenshots showing where 4, 16, 24 votes at a time are literally disappearing and the numbers are rolling back. So when Obama created this White House petition website, he created it such that it's intended to make most petitions unsuccessful. So with Trump, what I said was, you have 30 days to settle the country. A violent spring is coming, and everybody's against you, not just the extreme left, but also the neoconservatives led by Dick Cheney, funded by Israel and Saudi Arabia, and the deep state of entrenched senior officials. Okay? So what I suggest that are four specific things to survive and four specific things to be the greatest president in modern history. The survival things are switch out Priebus and Flynn. Flynn is gone, Priebus is going. We already know Priebus is gone. But when Priebus departs, that has to be part of a larger announcement where Priebus' replacement is someone who is widely acclaimed. David Stockman comes to mind, but someone like Jack Welch or Lee Iacocca also comes to mind. But I like Stockman for multiple reasons, including his service with Reagan and his service over at the OMB. He would be a marvelous partner to the existing director of OMB, who I like. The Electoral Reform Act is the game changer. If Trump does an Electoral Reform Act and explains it to everybody, the country will not talk about anything else until it's passed. That's the game changer. The third thing is a Trump channel. I envision clearing out the press. I would ban the press from the White House. They're worthless sock puppets. The press should be sending in questions to the press secretary, who then farms them out to people who actually know something. Sean Spicer doesn't know anything, okay? He knows how to chew gum. Beyond that, he's reached the limit of his intellectual capabilities. So a press secretary should bring in questions, then farm them out, and we have actual experts from across the government doing 7-minute YouTubes that answer those questions. But the cool thing about that is we then put all those questions out in the Trump channel so the mainstream media cannot distort our clear, truthful answers. And that would be backed up by an open source agency, which would give Trump and all of his cabinet officials the decision support that the CIA and others do not give them now. And the fourth survival thing is to unleash the FBI with NSA support against the deep state. There are elements of the FBI and NSA that can and should support President Trump at the same time that the traitors within the FBI and NSA need to be cleaned out. I know that with NSA support, Trump could more properly vet the people that he trusts now and perhaps be surprised to find that some of them have had backroom dealings that they have not reported to him. So counterintelligence is a big part of survival. And now to just wrap up, the four things, and all of your listeners, if they use tinyurl.com/, they can find this at Memo for Trump. Actually, if they just search Memo for Trump, with four being a number, they'll get right to it on most search engines. So the last four things are, he needs to diversify his senior team. Now, I'm told that Trump is very, very uncomfortable with this suggestion. He's read the memo. I'm told he's read the memo. And I'm told that he's toying with meeting with me next week. I hope so, because I leave for Norway on the 14th, and he doesn't have a lot of time. But I believe that Cynthia McKinney and others can help him bring the people of color into the Trump revolution. One of the things that I strongly believe is that the people of color have woken up to the betrayal of the people of color by the Democratic Party and explicitly by the Clintons. I had a phone call with Cynthia McKinney last night. She's in Bangladesh. And we talked about my line, which she likes very, very much. I say that the Clintons together have put more black people in jail than there were slaves at the beginning of the Civil War. And this is a fact. This is a fact.
That's
the
a powerful
Clintons
statement.
Put black people in jail. What?
That's a very powerful statement. And, you know, as I think it through, I know the logic is true. I know the facts are true.
Yes, and they not only put more black people in jail, they gave away more white jobs than anybody else through NAFTA and other means. So I think if you get Cynthia McKinney and Dennis Kucinich and Ralph Nader and Jesse Ventura, Ron Paul, of course, and others on the road, and you get the Constitution Party, and you get the working families with de Blasio, and you get others out on the road saying to people, look, whatever you think about Donald Trump, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. We need to mobilize the country to take down the deep state, and that, with the Electoral Reform Act being the meat in the sandwich, that is how Donald Trump dominates the narrative for the rest of his term. And do not mistake my commitment to Donald Trump. It's vastly more urgent that I support the legitimate president of the United States than I try to plan for winning myself or helping someone else win in 2020. Donald Trump is our legitimate president. He is the only person who could have been elected that is against the deep state. Had John Kasich been elected, he would have been a deep state guy. If Mike Pence is promoted, he's a deep state guy.
Exactly.
Donald Trump is it.
Let me stop you there with Mike Pence. I had a fit. I had a fit when he was selected as the runner.
Well, it was, again, Trump is a genius in a lot of ways. I mean, looking at the guy, I see someone who is not only very smart in a business sense, he's smart in a street fighter sense. And I think that Pence was part of Trump's winning. And the GOP repressing a million black votes was part of Trump's winning. But the real win for Trump came when Clinton collapsed. He's an accidental president. You know, the system was rigged for Clinton to win. And it wasn't until the New York Police Department and the laptop was confiscated from Anthony Weiner, that was the final straw that kept 3 million Clinton voters home. That, combined with the White Hats blocking the electronic tampering, vote tampering, are what put Donald Trump in. And the bookmakers did not know that that was going to happen, which is why they were saying that it was absolutely certain that Hillary Clinton would win. So just to finish up, my last three ideas, which are based on Trump's now being bulletproof, are to have a grand strategy summit televised for public consumption, have a revenue summit in which he talks to Edgar Feige, who created the automated transaction tax, which eliminates all taxes, beginning with income taxes. Trump has 9 Goldman Sachs guys advising him, and their role in life is to keep him from understanding that real tax reform begins with transferring the tax burden from Main Street to Wall Street. And we do that with the automated payment transaction tax, which taxes every currency and stock transaction. So I love this idea, and it's not my idea, and I'm going to end on this. Someone brought me this idea.
We've got about 30 seconds.
Okay, the debt renunciation pledge allows 150 million people to make Donald Trump their agent for renegotiating their debt. And he can go to the banks and say, you're going to cut this debt by 2/3, or I'm going to declare a debt jubilee and give every American citizen in debt a presidential pardon. Have a nice day.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I've been talking about repudiation of the debt. I think somewhere we're connected kindred souls, because
there's no question.
Of what you said, I write about this. This is phenomenal. Anyway, we're going to step aside.
You and I are part of the cosmic good.
Well, I think you're right, and we'll add Doug and Joe into that and a few others like Ted Brower, and you're right. We're going to step aside. We'll be back for a whole nother hour of Robert David Steele, ex-CIA caseworker. I got that right. We'll see you back here soon.
Case officer. I'm not a goddamn social worker.
Stand corrected.